It has been a minute. Been out of the country for the last week. There's been a lot of things that I've missed. So on Monday's show, we're going to spin that wheel of content. We're going to recap some of the biggest stories that I missed while I was out of the country and give you my take on all of them. All that right here, playing catch up on a Monday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, it is good to see and good to talk to all of you guys. Like I said in that cold open, it has been a week since I've been behind the microphone, so I am well rested and ready to get back to it. Appreciate you guys for dialing into the show last week on three episodes, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I pre-recorded those, like I said, but back to normal 5 days a week here throughout the rest of who knows when. So appreciate you guys for staying with it last week, and welcome back. I'm excited to be back here in this episode of Locked On Vols. This is brought to you in part by LinkedIn Jobs, where you can find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and for free. You can post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions, they do apply. As always, I am your host, Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys for joining the show. Don't forget, we'll be back to regular programming Twitter Tuesday tomorrow. So any questions you guys may have on Tennessee football, recruiting, transfer portal, basketball, baseball, whatever you guys have, questions about me, just shoot them on over at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. So what I thought about today, I thought we'd have a little fun here, something I did back whenever I did radio, whenever one of us, myself, Tyler Robbins, or Will West was on vacation. We would spin the wheel of content. And in radio, of course, it was an audio image. I'd hit a little sound bumper and do the little spinning thing. And I'm going to bring that onto the show here as well. So if you're listening, you will hear me spin that wheel of content. If you're watching on YouTube, and I appreciate you guys for doing that and subscribing to the channel, I got the wheel behind me or over here to the side. You can't really see it. It's a metaphorical wheel, but I will be spinning it and you will be able to hear that as well. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get on into it. Let's spin that wheel of content on the biggest stories that I missed while I was off on my honeymoon in Cabo San Lucas. All right, so we're going to spin it right now. As you hear it, spinning, spinning, spinning. And here it drops in on Nico being the number one player in the On3 final rankings. How about that? Tennessee signee who was in role, who moved in over the weekend, who just played in the Polynesian Bowl last week, who took home MVP honors, the five-star prospect Nico Iamaliava takes home the number one prospect ranking per On3 in the final On300 rankings. That's quite an accomplishment for Tennessee, and really for, of course, Nico Iamaliava. It's funny, you know, we talk about this industry comparison all the time, and the big three in terms of recruiting prowess, in terms of recruiting, companies out there, On3, 247, and Rivals, they're all pretty, pretty dialed in on who Nico is as the player. On3, of course, now has Nico as the number one ranked prospect in the country, so number one nationally, the number one player ranked at his position, a quarterback, and of course, the number one in the state of California. 247 has Nico as number two in the nation, number two at the position, and number one in the state. Rivals has Nico at number two in the nation, number two at his position, and number one in the state. And of course, the guy above him would be Arch Manning for both of those publications. But then there's ESPN, and there's really no excuse for this, but we talked about that on another show. But ESPN has Nico at number 32, sixth at his position at the quarterback position, literally sixth at the quarterback position, and fourth in the state of California. So the big three that cover recruiting, On3, 247, and Rivals, all pretty much in similar lines of thinking about who Nico Iamaliava is. And then you have ESPN that's pretty far down there. But when you look at the entire On3, prospect rankings, Nico takes that top spot. And then number two is Keon Keeley, who's an edge rusher that signed on to play for Alabama. Number three is Arch Manning. He drops down from number one to number three. You go on and you see some more names that you might kind of know who they are. Caleb Downs is there at number eight. James Smith is there at number 10. Jordan Hall is there at number 13. Jermaine Matthews is at 14, so on and so forth. Some of those other prospects around the country. But coming in at number one, that is Nico Iamaliava. And this is what On3 Director of Scouting Charles Power had to say when they re-released those updated rankings last week. Quote, the race for the number one overall spot was a tight one, and it was a tough decision. It's something that we thought about for the entire cycle. Nico Iamaliava to us is an edge in a larger part because he is so, because he is the most physically gifted quarterback, and it's a deep cycle at quarterback. That is true. I think when you look at both he and Arch Manning, neither of them are truly dominant high school players. You have to kind of project them a little bit. And projecting, we often decide with the quarterback with the most physical upside, and that is Nico. He goes on to say, I think what sticks out about Nico is his combination of big league arm with his twitchy athleticism. That kind of sets him apart among all the other quarterbacks. He has the arm talent to make any throw on the field. We have seen him do that in multiple settings. His ability to quickly react, escape from pressure, and pick up yards on the ground separates him among the top quarterbacks. Just his natural tool set with his arm and it burst sets him apart. Again, that is quote from On3 Director of Scouting, Charles Power, on what went into the decision to rank Nico Iamaliava the number one prospect in the country, according to the latest On3 ranking. So I did mention that what an accomplishment there for Nico, for the University of Tennessee, for Josh Heupel, Joey Halsey, Alex Golish, who played a hand in recruiting him as well. But also Nico was in the Polynesian Bowl last week in Honolulu, and had plenty of coverage of that over at VolQuest.com, did Austin Price, and he took home Polynesian Bowl MVP honors for his play. I think that game was on Friday night. He finished the game 13 of 20, 186 yards and a touchdown. He did have an interception. He added 65 rushing yards on the ground. He led a fourth quarter game-winning drive to come back and obviously win that football game. So what a scene for Nico Iamaliava as his high school career, his prep career, finally comes to a close. He's already been enrolled, or he's enrolled at Tennessee. He's already been practicing with Tennessee for bowl prep. He moved in over the weekend, and his Tennessee career is set to go. So that, in my opinion, I'm glad that the wheel spun and landed on this one first, because I thought that was the biggest storyline of the last week that I missed. So that is out of the way. Nico Iamaliava named On Three's number one prospect for the cycle of 2023. So what else happened while we were gone? Well, let's spin that wheel and find out. We'll hit one more here in segment number one. So let's spin that wheel. On around here. I've got seven topics we're going to get into today. And this one sits on another quarterback. It's funny how that works. Quarterback Taven Jackson entered the transfer portal. That news actually happened on Friday. I was still stateside when I got that news. I just didn't have enough time to put up an episode for Saturday. And of course, I'd already pre-recorded those episodes for last week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But, you know, quarterback Taven Jackson, it was not a shocker that he entered the transfer portal, but I do think that everybody over at Tennessee, and myself included, kind of thought that he would go through spring practice, see exactly where he was in the pecking order, kind of scout out Nico, see where Nico was in his progression, because there was a very real chance that Taven Jackson could have been the number two quarterback behind Joe Milton next year. And of course, Joey Halsey said during the Orange Bowl week practice that, in the press conference settings, that there's going to be a full-fledged quarterback battle. I'm sure there will be, but I mean, Joe Milton's got the upper hand, as he should. He's a veteran. He's developed. He's, you know, all that type of stuff. I mean, Joe is who Joe is, and he's probably the best option to lead Tennessee next year at quarterback, but there has to be a number two quarterback, and there has to be a guy pushing Joe Milton. Of course, Nico Iamaliava was going to do that regardless, but Taven Jackson already had a year in the system. Sure, he got hurt a little bit. He got hurt against, I think it was UT Martin playing in mop-up duty, broke his collarbone and missed the rest of the season. But he is a year into the system. He's run this offense before. He has live game reps. And so, and in my opinion, there's not a better quarterback coach in the country than Josh Heupel. So I thought he would stick around. I think Tennessee thought he would probably stick around and go through spring practice, kind of see where he is. But ultimately, him going into the transfer portal, that's no shock whatsoever. You have Joe. You have Nico, who, if he turns out to be what myself and everybody else thinks he is, he's going to be pretty daggone good at the college level. He might not start day one. In fact, I don't think he will start day one, but he'll likely be a pretty good player. So it's not a shock whatsoever that he entered the transfer portal looking for a different opportunity, but I just think the timing of it right now might have been a little bit of a surprise. But nonetheless, Taven Jackson goes in the transfer portal. I think that was on Friday. By Sunday, I think he had already committed to Indiana, where his older brother starts on the basketball team up there at Indiana. So, you know, going back home and committing to play for Indiana, that's no shock there. But Tennessee does have a quarterback down. Now, who's going to be that third scholarship quarterback on roster? Tennessee right now has Joe Milton, has Nico Iamaliava. They're on scholarship. just like in bowl practice, you know, there was a lack of scholarship quarterbacks. Well, you've got, of course, you have Gaston Moore that's there, and he's technically a walk-on right now, but he could be elevated. He could get a scholarship. He's been in the system for, I think, 3 years already. He came with Josh Heupel at UCF to Tennessee. He is a bigger guy. He has a strong arm. He is not the absolute worst option as a third-string quarterback, but he is a walk-on. You also have Navy Schuler that's here as well. Of course, he transferred over and came in from Appalachian State here for the 2022 season. So that's the quarterback situation. Can Tennessee add a quarterback from the portal? It absolutely can, but you're not going to get a highly profile quarterback. It's going to be tough to get a quarterback coming in saying, all right, so you've got Joe, you got Nico, I'm going to be a third-string quarterback, you know, maybe pushing to be a second-string quarterback. It's got to take a special type of guy to kind of know where he is in the pecking order to want to sign on for that. So we will see, but having Gaston Moore there, a guy that's been in the system for years already, who has a lot of athletic ability and has a really good arm, that's not the worst-case scenario. So two of the biggest stories that the wheel spun on here that we hit in segment number one, Nico Iamaliava was ranked the number one prospect per On3 in the latest rankings. And then Taven Jackson, quarterback at Tennessee, entered the transfer portal, and he actually went ahead and committed to Indiana. So those are two of the biggest stories. What else from around the Tennessee beat did I miss while I was in Mexico? We will find out when we return right here on Locked On Vols, and we spin that wheel content that is just ahead. But first, as small businesses, if you're an owner, if you're a hiring manager, you know that success in 2023, it all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. And that's why you've really, really got to check out LinkedIn Jobs to find the best qualified candidates that you want to hire faster and for free. It helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools that go above the resume's data by using insights from your job post companies of over 875 million member profiles, and they're going to put your post in front of the most qualified candidates out there. They identify the most qualified candidates on LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them faster, and again, it's all for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen applicants based on job qualifications all on one platform. It's why small businesses rank LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus its leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and for free. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Hey guys, as always, I want to thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Make sure to check out the brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Everything you need to know about college basketball all in one place. Plus, you can hear the big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. That's Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you find your podcast. We are spinning the wheel of content here today on a Monday show. I was out of the country last week in Mexico, and there wasn't any major news, but a lot of, you know, medium level news that obviously we would have talked about last week on the podcast if I was doing it. So we're spinning that wheel content. Wherever it lands on, I'm going to give you my take on what that said events or whatever accomplishment or whatever it was from last week and give you my two cents on exactly what had happened. So also don't forget Twitter Tuesdays tomorrow. Get me in your questions, your comments, your concerns, your mailbag edition of the show. That's tomorrow at underscore Kaner and at Locked On Ball. So let's spin that wheel of contents and see what we are going to discuss next. And it's kind of funny. I just love when things work out like this. No, it's not pre-produced. Maybe it is. Tennessee basketball. We had that little basketball read coming into this segment. Tennessee basketball goes 2-1 over the week. And yes, I know it's disappointing. Tennessee was a, what was it, guys? 14-point favorite. Tennessee was a 14-point favorite against Kentucky. And like I spoke with Lance last week on Friday's episode, 2 weeks ago on Friday's episode before I left, you know, he was saying, I'm sure Tennessee will beat him by 15 or 20 points. I'm like, dude, it's Kentucky. It is usually never that easy. Or there's one lopsided loss followed by another lopsided loss. You just flip the two teams in the win column every single year. It's Tennessee and Kentucky. I thought Tennessee might win by 8 to 10 or whatever. I took Tennessee to win, of course. But Tennessee came up short against Kentucky last Saturday, and it was a little unfortunate. Tennessee fell 63 to 56. Tennessee was just dominated on the boards, absolutely dominated on the boards, 43 to 23, out rebounded by 20 by Kentucky. Look at those total rebounding numbers for Tennessee: 3 from Julian Phillips, 2 from Olivier, Kumwah, 3 from Uros, 1 from Tyreek Key, 1 from Vescovy, 4 from Jonas Adu, 5 from Triple J. I mean, that 5 spot from Triple J was not bad, but Tennessee actually shot better than Kentucky in this win. 40% from the field when Kentucky shot only 35%, but Tennessee was 3 of 21 from behind the arc. Kentucky went on a couple of runs, throughout the game. They had a 9-point lead with just over the half to play, and then they went on a scoring run there midway through the first half as well to open up that lead. It was an ugly game. Tennessee fell to Kentucky, and that was the 3rd overall loss of the season, the 1st loss in SEC play, 63-56, and that was last Saturday. But Tennessee did rebound, no pun intended, right? Tennessee rebounded in a big way on the road at Mississippi State without a couple of key contributors. Santiago Vescovy did not play in this game. Tyreek Key did not play in this basketball game. It was a new-look starting five, obviously, with some of those guys who were out. It was Phillips, Olivier Kumwah, Uros Plavsic. Tennessee went bigger. Zakai Ziegler into the starting lineup, and Josiah Jordan-James made his appearance back in the starting five as well. Zakai Ziegler played 40 minutes in this game, and it was really, really good for Tennessee's 70-59 win over Mississippi State on the road without two starters, and of course, arguably the best player in Santiago Vescovy. But really impressive by Zakai Ziegler. 40 minutes played in this basketball game, 24 points on 7 of 14 shooting, 4 of 10 from downtown. I thought 18 points from Julian Phillips was really, really good as well. He had a double-double, 18 points and 11 rebounds for the freshman. That was good, him stepping up in the absence of some of those guys. 13 points on 33 minutes played from Josiah Jordan-James was really, really good. Tennessee shot the basketball 45% and made 10 three-pointers compared to only 3 made three-pointers against Kentucky. So it was a shorthanded claw, but a good win for the University of Tennessee against Mississippi State to improve to 15-3 and 5-1 in SEC play. And then just a couple days ago at LSU on Saturday, Tennessee just smacked them, 77-56. Tennessee improves to 16-3, 6-1 in SEC play. LSU's not a good ball club, 12-7, 1-6 overall in SEC play. Santiago Vescovy made his return. You had Tyreek Key who made his return. Uros Plavsic did not play in this basketball game, but Zakai Ziegler stayed in the starting lineup. It was interesting. So Vescovy and Tyreek Key came back. Key comes off the bench and plays 17 minutes, scoring 10 points and adding 7 rebounds, which is really, really good. And I thought he looked, whenever I was catching up on the planes and everything coming back on Saturday, I thought he looked, you know, arguably as good as he has all season, you know, dating back to some early contests. But Ziegler stayed in that starting lineup, played 37 minutes, had a double-double, 12 points, 10 assists. He is playing outstanding basketball right now for Rick Barnes. Julian Phillips, again, another really, really good day. 10 points offensively, 4 on the boards, 12 points from Ziegler, as I mentioned, 22 points from Josiah Jordan-James, who was 9 of 16, 4 of 6 from downtown. He added 7 rebounds and one assist and 3 steals. So Tennessee's playing some really good basketball. Had the hiccup against Kentucky, and that's unfortunate, but Tennessee does go 2-1 over the week with a loss against Kentucky, but does go on the road shorthanded, takes down Mississippi State, and then takes down LSU to improve to 16-3 and 6-1 in SEC play. Tennessee's deep. Tennessee's got this 9-10 man rotation looking really, really good right now. Jemiah Mashak continues to play some minutes for Tennessee. He had 10 minutes off the bench. Toby Awaka had 12 minutes off the bench against LSU. Again, I mentioned Tyreek Key, 17 minutes, and then Jonas Adu, his regular role in the front court, 20 minutes off the bench in Tennessee's 77-56 win over LSU. So Tennessee goes 2-1 in hoops action over the week. And let's get back to that wheel of content, spin it, and see what else we miss throughout the rest of the week. So I've got a couple more subjects here that I do want to hit on, and that wheel comes to a close on Tennessee's final rankings, Tennessee prospects in the final on 3 rankings. So we talked about Nico Iamaliava, who, you know, came in on top and was at number 1 in the final on 3 rankings, and that was quite an accomplishment. But, you know, what else? What about other Tennessee players and Tennessee signees and enrollees? Where did they finish in the final on 3 rankings? Remember, National Signing Day is a couple of days away. It's not, you know, what it once was. I think it's February 4th, February 5th, somewhere around there. We'll see if Tennessee signs any more 2023 prospects, but Tennessee's already pretty much done. We mentioned Nico moved up from number 2 to number 1. Davin Hobbs actually slipped down 9 spots, still maintains his 5th star. Tennessee has two 5-star prospects in this class. That doesn't change. Davin Hobbs, the defensive tackle, goes from number 20 in the country to number 29 overall. Of course, this is the On3 rankings. Nathan Laycock made a big old jump up 23 spots from 68th in the nation to 45th. I'll stand by this. I think that was one of the best evaluations in the country there in that 2023 cycle from Tennessee staff. Nathan Laycock into the top 50 overall prospects in the country. Caleb Herring slips down from number 66 to number 85. Tywee Weathersby, a big jump. He moved up 20 spots from 128th in the country to 108th. Ethan Davis slipped down from 92nd to 116. And, you know, he missed pretty much all the senior season, so that's no huge surprise there for the tight end. Jordan Matthews moved up over 100 spots, 102 spots. That's another really good evaluation. From 224th in the country all the way up to 122nd. Arian Carter moved from 181st all the way up to 134th in the country. Ricky Gibson moved up a couple spots, 5 to be exact, from 178 to 172. Cam Seldon, another big jumper, 30 spots, 210th all the way up to 180th. And Shondavian Bradley slipped back from 113th to 186th. Overall, Tennessee, let's see here, 11 players ranked inside the top 200 according to On3, 8 inside the top 134, including the big move by defensive back Jordan Matthews, who jumped over 100 spots. Here's Charles Powers again, the director of scouting for On3 on quarterback Jordan Matthews. Quote, the quarterback position is really a stopwatch traits position. You look at Jordan Matthews' combination of size and speed, it sticks out. A guy that continued to get faster and really made a jump in maturing physically over the last year. He is younger for the class, but it's so it's not hard to see why he made that jump. He is a smooth corner, plays well against top competition. We saw him lock horns with LSU signee Sheldon Sampson in back-to-back seasons and really perform well in that matchup. I think he's going to have to continue to be more consistent, but the upside, given his physical ability and how he's continued to improve, makes you feel pretty good about his projections. Again, that was on Tennessee's biggest jumpy, cornerback Jordan Matthews, who moved up over 100 spots. So good stuff there from the wheel on what we missed last week while I was out of the country. We'll continue to spin that wheel here in just a moment. A couple more subject. There's some on baseball we're going to get into here in segment number 3. And that is all when Locked On Vols returns here on a Monday. Hey, everybody. Welcome back into your Monday edition of Locked On Vols. I am back and glad to be back. It's been, I cannot remember the last time I've not been in front of a microphone speaking for really 8 consecutive days. I mean, literally, it's been years. And so it was great to be with my new wife and my, you know, first marriage. It sounded a little weird, like I've had a couple of marriages. I'm still young. But thanks to be with my one and only wife on our honeymoon. And we had a great time, but glad to be back at work, getting back after it. And really excited to answer your questions on Twitter Tuesday. That's coming up on tomorrow's show. Be sure to get those in. But today we are spinning that wheel of content to give my take on some of the biggest stories that I missed last week while I was out of the country. And it lands on Tennessee baseball. Hey, Tennessee Vols, they were named number 2 in the preseason top 25 by D1 Baseball. You know, all those preseason projections are coming in, and preseason All-Americans and preseason players and pitchers of the year and All-Conference. And you know, there's a million different polls out there. But you guys know me, at least if you follow my baseball work, I kind of channel in and follow D1 Baseball. That poll is kind of what I use. That is my preference. If you follow anything from the University of Tennessee, and this is not just University of Tennessee, anybody will do it, they will take whichever poll has them ranked higher and use that as the ranking, and that's fair. I mean, that's what I would do if I was in their position as well. But I typically always follow the D1 baseball rankings, and you know, those, I think they have some great writers and some great reporters and who follow the game well. Anyway, Tennessee was ranked number 2 in the preseason poll, right behind LSU, who did a really, really nice job racking up with the transfer portal this offseason, as Tennessee did. But LSU comes in there at number 1, Tennessee's at number 2, Stanford's at 3, Ole Miss is at number 4, Texas A&M is at 5, Wake Forest is at 6, Florida is at 7, Arkansas is at 8, Oklahoma State is at 9, and Vanderbilt is at number 10, Tennessee coming in at number 2. And of course, you look at what Tennessee's projected coming off a 53-7 overall season, the number one ranking, number one seed in the NCAA tournament, a 25-5 mark inside SEC play. Tennessee's got to replace its catcher. It's got to replace its first baseman. It's got to replace its second baseman. Got to replace a third baseman. It's got to replace a shortstop. It's got to replace an outfielder. So Tennessee's got some work to do. Charlie Taylor is going to, you know, Charlie Taylor and Jared Dickey and some of these other guys are going to be, you know, working to fill out the catcher position this year. Blake Burke is going to slot in there and play first base this year, but he's no stranger to Tennessee fans. Christian Moore likely will be the starting second baseman. Zane Denton, a transfer from Alabama, likely to be the starting third baseman. Maui Ahuna, superstar, is going to be your shortstop, and he is a stud, let me tell you. Griffin Merritt, transfer from Cincinnati. I had to sit down with him 2 weeks ago at volquest.com. He'll likely be one of the corner outfielders. Kyle Booker, likely to be one of the outfielders, likely center field. Freshman Dylan Dreiling is going to be a guy to pay attention to. I think he's going to be filling in the outfield. And there's tons of guys like Kavaris Tears and, you know, Logan Chambers and Christian Scott and a whole lot of guys I'm not even mentioning right now. They're going to play a role for Tennessee, but those are some of the notables. But, of course, where you're replacing a lot of production in the lineup, you've got those arms coming back. And, I mean, it's it is hard to think bad about the University of Tennessee in terms of projections when you bring back Chase Dolander, All-American SEC Pitcher of the Year, Chase Burns, freshman All-American and All-SEC player, and Drew Beam, All-American and SEC Freshman of the Year. That's your weekend rotation you're bringing back. Xander Seacrest, the guy that'll be a midweek starter plus bullpen help. You bring back a lot of guys in the bullpen, plus a new addition in Andrew Lindsay, who took a year off in 2021, but played for Charlotte. Actually, took a year off in 2022, played for Charlotte in 2021. And so, you know, Tennessee's added an awful lot, and so there's a lot to be excited about. But Tennessee checked in at number two in the preseason, top 25 by D1 Baseball. All right, so we got a couple more here left. Let's spin that wheel and see what we land on here next. And, of course, yeah, one of the biggest stories from last week that, you know, we didn't even really – of course, I mean, I was out of the country, but we haven't even mentioned yet on the show. Tennessee brought in a cornerback from the transfer portal in Gabe Judy Lolly. So he commits to Tennessee by way of BYU, and Tennessee now has closed this first portal of new entries. It is closed now. Tennessee did make that new addition from BYU and cornerback Gabe Judy Lolly. It's the eighth player Tennessee has added from the transfer portal since it opened on December the 5th. Tennessee had 11 players depart the program to the portal, and you know, Tennessee is did a good job in my estimation over the last 45 days during that portal. There will be another portal window that will open after spring football concludes. But what to know about Gabe Judy Lolly? Well, I hope to catch up with Jake Hatch of Locked On Cougars at some point this week to get a little bit more information on him. But a BYU transfer making the move to Tennessee. He was teammates at BYU. Linebacker Keenan Peely, who had already committed to Tennessee earlier in the transfer portal window, and so that's a little connection there. He's 6'1", 180 pounds, had 47 tackles, 7 pass deflections, and 13 games from BYU this past season. He finished with 31 solo tackles, 16 assisted tackles. He started his collegiate career at Vanderbilt in 2020. He played in 12 games in 2021. He had 50 tackles for Vanderbilt that year, 35 solo, 15 assists, 1 pass deflection. He was a 3-star prospect of the On3 consensus rankings in 2019. That cycle, he was out of Aldrich Hill High School in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I believe, if my math is correct, he'll have 2 years of eligibility remaining here at Tennessee. Started his career in 2020 at Vanderbilt, played in 2021 at Vanderbilt, played at BYU in 2022. Now he'll have 2 more additional years here at Tennessee for 23 and 24. So Gabe Judy Lolly commits to the University of Tennessee, and this is of note if you went, and since we discussed like our position look-aheads at the cornerback position, Tennessee brings back a number of players and all that. But Gabe Judy Lolly, really interesting here. He graded out at 79.1, which is very, very close to an above-average starter grade, 1 point away from an above-average starter grade. That was on 658 snaps at cornerback last season. That's a really, really good number per Pro Football Focus. So very intriguing there from Gabe Judy Lolly. the latest commitment for Tennessee out of the transfer portal. And lastly, we don't even have to spin the wheel this time because there's only one left. Lucas Ramirez commits to the University of Tennessee. That's a baseball player. Commits to Tony Vitello. We don't cover much recruiting baseball because that just doesn't move the needle. But why is this one different? Well, look at his name, Lucas Ramirez. True, there are a lot of Ramirezes who play baseball, a lot of notable Ramirezes who are and who have played baseball. But Lucas Ramirez is the son of Manny Ramirez, committed to Tennessee on Friday, which was really, really interesting. He is a corner infielder, first baseman, third baseman, can play some outfield as well. 6'3", 195 pounds. He is in the class of 2024. He attends American Heritage High School in Plantation, Florida. Perfect game. Now, we were talking D1 baseball earlier in the show. Perfect game earlier in the segment. Considers him a 9 out of 10 prospect, which means potential top 10 round pick and or the highest level college prospect in this scouting metric. So a really, really good player. And the son of Manny Ramirez, who was a Red Sox legend, who played all over the place, you know, for the Dodgers and for the Cubs a little bit. And, you know, just wacky Manny being Manny, right? But there's undeniable what that bat was from the right side of the plate. His son, Lucas Ramirez, commits to Tennessee. He is in the class of 2024. So I thought that was notable, and I wanted to bring that on the show. All right, seven subjects, seven topics that I missed while I was away. And really, there's three if you break that down into each individual basketball game that I missed. But I wanted to give my take, wanted to give my thoughts on some of the things that I missed while I was out of the country. And that was the Monday show. Hope you guys enjoyed. We'll be back at it on Tuesday, tomorrow, for Twitter Tuesday, mailbag edition of the show. Get me in any questions, any comments, anything you guys may have you want to discuss. Bring it on the show. Tennessee football, recruiting, transfer portal, basketball, baseball, whatever it is. Bringing, if you guys have any questions about Cabo, I was just there and it was phenomenal. The temperatures mid to upper 70s, sunny skies every single day. And it was a rude awakening when I got back in Knoxville at midnight Sunday morning and it was 45 and muggy. So that was that was not great in comparison to waking up to sunny skies, 77 degrees and just being, you know, paradise, right? But I am glad to be back. I did miss some work and excited to be back at it, talking with you guys every single day. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel if you haven't already. Let's build this channel up. Follow at underscore Caner and at Locked On Vols on Twitter. Appreciate you guys more than you will ever know. We'll do it again, same time, same place. That's coming up tomorrow right here on Locked On Vols.